This is PX Pulse, the Advocacy Chronicles, where advocates highlight key issues and get into what's at stake and how to win. Each episode is a discussion with one leading advocate and explores a campaign at the forefront of global health equity. We spotlight strategies that work, winning tactics, and improvised solutions. I'm your host, Manju Chitani Gada. For several years now, we're seeing the rise of community-led monitoring in the HIV response, and particularly in Eastern and Southern Africa. Known as CLM for short, it's a tactic being championed and implemented to ensure that communities play a direct role in monitoring and improving HIV services. Today, we take a close look at CLM in Malawi, where advocates have made amazing strides to expand support for CLM and use it to better connect government decision makers to the gaps in services and what people really need. Because of advocacy, PEPFAR and the Global Fund are now recognizing through their funding the importance of CLM. Joining us today to tell us how this work got done in Malawi, what advocates accomplished, and how they did it is David Kamkwamba. David is a journalist and health advocate and the former chair of the Civil Society Advocacy Forum on HIV and Related Diseases, commonly known as CSAF. CSAF and AVAC are partners in COMPASS. COMPASS is the coalition to build momentum, power, activism, strategy, and solidarity in Africa. COMPASS has supported extensive work on community-led monitoring in Malawi and across the region. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Manju.
So, David, why did CSAF prioritize community-led monitoring in Malawi? What benefits or promises does CLM hold for communities and for improving service delivery in Malawi? What is it that makes people interested in using this approach?
So I think just to say that up to 2019, our engagement with policymakers, providers, funders like Global Fund and PEPFAR was based on anecdotal evidence and not structured. And during all this time, there had been need to mobilize community voices for engagement with duty bearers in a more organized way. So if you talk about what are the benefits for the community, I think first, communities are provided a platform to voice out their concerns using evidence, and that communities are empowered to make demands on the quality of service, but also that communities experience improvement on quality of service delivery. But above all this, it's the health system which is strengthened because of community-led monitoring.
Those are powerful benefits. Now, before we go on, it may be useful to hear you describe CLM in really simple language so everyone can understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, so basically in CLM, it's about the voice of service users. Service users themselves empowered to collect data, to analyze data, and to use that evidence which comes from the data, from the analysis, to advocate for issues that affect quality of service delivery. And you may as well say, why this approach, why do we advocate this approach? It's because CLM puts recipients of care at the center of service delivery. CLM creates a platform for dialogue. And that, you know, has an impact on health systems strengthening. You may also be interested to know, to say, when we go to new communities, when we come and engage communities for the first time, what do we say? What do we communicate with them? So basically, I think two things. First, we say with their active participation and empowerment, quality of services can be improved. And that demands must be evidence-based. So with that in mind, we have gone a long way to look at how our work has impacted in terms of achievements, one of which is that we have had government recognition. It has not been easy because when we are starting, government was like a bit jittery to say, what is this that, you know, can come from communities? Because you are talking about a health delivery system, which is composed of health experts who spent years and years in specializing their fields. And so when you say a community can collect data, a community can analyze data, a community can engage the system through advocacy on the issues, an expert versus a lay person. But over time now, we can say we have gained recognition from government because they were thinking in the first instance that we're there to spoil the soup.
So how's the relationship with the government now since they appreciate the CLM approach?
We have a collaborative than confrontational approach. We are now able to get feedback from them. And so we are able to listen to each other. And actually, we have built on their feedback. We have also attracted potential members for Civil Society Advocacy Forum.
And using CLM has also broadened your member base, right?
Yes. So the fact that we are able to engage PEFA through community-led monitoring, it attracted other potential members to say, I think CISAF is up to something more serious. When PEFA has increased funding for community-led monitoring from $725,000 to now $1 million in COP2023, it attracted a lot of attention to be members for CISAF. So you see that membership has increased from 2018, 18 organizations, to now 70 organizations in 2023. These are big achievements, but more so, it is now being recognized that community-led monitoring is contributing towards improving the quality of services, by extension, improving the health system strengthening in the country. These are no mere achievements, because even as I'm talking to you now, the G7 for Global Fund, they have increased, you know, support for community-led monitoring to 100 facilities. So PEFA was supporting around 45 facilities, but now Global Fund is coming to say we can support about 100 more facilities, and we are very grateful for this achievement.
So how did you and CISAF do it, David? Can you describe what strategies or approaches you used that were critical to achieving these milestones? And if I heard you well, these include increased funding, increased implementation of CLM across civil society, increased trust by governments in CLM, not to mention gaining the trust of communities to invest in tracking this data and giving feedback.
It started in 2018. We reconstituted a Civil Society Advocacy Forum so that we can better engage government. It also meant us asking ourselves to say, what tools can we use to engage government? And so through our networking in the region, we learned about CLM. So before 2019, we just used to talk to them, you know, verbal and that kind of thing. But from 2019, we went on the ground and started developing what we call People's COP.
Just to clarify, the COP is the country operational plan that PEPFAR uses to determine funding to countries it works in. The People's COP is a parallel community-driven version of the COP developed by civil society and people affected by HIV to ensure that communities' needs and perspectives are considered in the allocation of PEPFAR funds rather than solely relying on government-led planning. Now, it's separate from the official COP, but it can be a powerful advocacy tool to influence final funding allocations. So how does CLM feed into this, David?
So this was the people's voice. We had to go on the ground. We had to develop tools, and people had to collect data from within affected communities. And with that data, we presented to PEFA to say, these are the issues. And that People's COP was based on the method of community-led monitoring, the tools of community-led monitoring. Beyond that, we have also used the same to engage Global Fund. We have also used the same to engage government to say, okay, what is happening on the ground? What is community-led monitoring, you know, telling us? And how can the system improve? But I'm emphasizing that we have not used a confrontational, you know, approach in engaging government. What we have learned is to use a collaborative approach. where we bring out issues and then they comment on those issues, they bring in their feedback, and we build in that feedback so that together we kind of validate what is coming from the field, what they think is true and what we think is true.
I think it's really important what you just said, that the approach was about engagement, and not only that, consistent engagement, and really listening to what the feedback was from government. So through that process, there was trust built and you got the buy-in. Was there a moment, though, that you had a challenge in dealing with the government that surprised you, that the team and other CSAF members hadn't expected?
I think the biggest challenge is that initially when we are starting, it was like we are going into a zone where people didn't want to accept us. They were not receptive. And the basis for that was because they looked at CLM as something that was not scientific, that was not credible. And so we had to find ways of convincing them. And one way was to demonstrate the results, the contribution that CLM was making to improving quality of service on the ground. And the other way was to make sure that there's that consistent engagement and collaboration with them, that consistent drawing of their feedback into how CLM should be. So that at the end of the day, we have a common understanding. But this did not mean compromising on the principles of CLM, because CLM operates on principles, one of which is that it has to be community-led. And using that principle, we started getting that reception from government to say, I think, yes, communities have a role in this, because the way communities look at issues of service delivery is not the way an expert would look at it. So over time, we started talking the same language, because they also know that where a recipient of care is not comfortable about the how of getting the service, then that recipient of care most likely can lead, for example, to defaulting, interrupting that treatment. And it comes back to issues like high viral load, because there's no adherence to treatment. So it was also in their interest that they support community-led monitoring.
Really clear. Thanks for that. Now, let's be specific. What data are you gathering and how are you collecting it?
So the tools that we develop have indicators that are aligned to national indicators. For example, in prevention, we look at access to condoms. In prevention, we look at testing, the number of people that have tested, or the issues that are preventing people from testing, or the issues that are preventing people from accessing condoms. In treatment, we look at issues of access to, you know, ARVs, for example. And we are more interested in the people who are defaulting treatment. And we are more interested in the whys of that defaulting. Because for the provider, they may not be interested in the whys. They don't have the time to find the whys. So for us, we have qualitative, you know, aspects through the focus group discussions in the communities. Stigma and discrimination is one of the reasons why people may default. So it's how the treatment is being given at the facility. If it's an open place, for example, if issues of confidentiality are compromised, people will withdraw from going to that facility, and the facility will not know. The issue, again, is the facility is not able to find out the qualitative aspects to that data, why people are defaulting or why people are not coming to testing. So those are the kind of things that we bring up. We do it every quarter, because once we find the issues, we also expect that the next time we go there, those issues must have been addressed by the facility or those who are responsible for it. So if the issues are happening at the facility and the facility does not have the capacity to resolve those issues, we scale them up to a higher level, a district level. If the district level cannot resolve those issues, we take them up to national level. So that's why you're talking about policymakers. You may even go as far as the minister himself or herself. So that's how community-led monitoring works.
I think that advocates in other countries can really learn from this experience and this focused attention on CLM. For those interested in strengthening CLM in their countries and getting the Ministry of Health to buy into it, what's the key advice you would have?
I think the critical thing is that when you're working on CLM, work towards CLM recognition by government, because government is a big player. In a country like Malawi, government is a policy holder on all issues to do with health. Government is also the biggest provider of services. So you can't succeed in CLM programming if government is not buying into what we are doing. And this means being open to their feedback, especially around data quality and validation issues. So issues of data quality are very critical to the experts. And just, you know, what you communicate to communities is very critical. What kind of indicators are you monitoring? Are they your own indicators, or you are just monitoring what government is doing? The second thing is to avoid confrontation. Apply collaborative relationship. Because as representatives of communities, civil society organizations also have a role to, you know, help with the solutions that come out from the community. The third point is to demonstrate community-led monitoring contribution to health system strengthening. You know, if you cannot show the results, the benefit, then government will not accept that, will not recognize you, will not appreciate your role. Then I think fourthly is to collaborate with the researchers and the CLOM implementers, where researchers shall also include academics. Because what is coming out now is that we have done so much about CLOM, but it has not been visible. In some circles, they are still questioning. And so the thinking now in CLOM is that let's make CLOM more visible. How we do that is we work together between CLOM implementers and academicians and researchers so that at the end of the day, we can, you know, develop publications which can go in, you know, scientific journals. And lastly, I think I would say ensure CLOM is coordinated, because in a country like Malawi and elsewhere, CLOM is a growing phenomenon. So everyone now is realizing the need for CLOM. At the end of the day, you are many implementers. Are you consistent? Have you developed a system that really can demonstrate credibility to health system strengthening? So I would really recommend that CLOM in any country is coordinated, so that all implementers are talking the same language. All implementers have a platform where they can discuss CLOM issues, and they have a platform where they can meet service providers, government, donors.
Really helpful examples on how CLM is working and great lessons for the field. So you've done this for a while. You've been using CLM. You've strengthened members to be able to implement it in a consistent way. You've even developed a training manual. So what's next? As a sign that things are going in the right direction, what do you want to see happen now?
What do you want to see happen primarily is to see CLM being scaled up in the country. But beyond scaling up, like I've said, now we are talking about 100 more facilities. At first, we are very few of us who are doing it, but now more implementers are coming up for CLM. And I think issues of coordination are coming up. The frequency of engaging the stakeholders has to be uniform so that we don't go and knock on the same stakeholder because we are coming from different implementing organizations, no. So we put all our information together and we invite all the stakeholders together. And if there are issues of inconsistencies in the system, then we look at them together. And so where we are going now as a country is we are mainstreaming, you know, community-led monitoring. We are institutionalizing it so that at the end of the day, it's in the national program. So at the end of the day, we want communities themselves, and I mean communities as a voice, communities as beneficiaries, communities as affected populations, who should be engaging, you know, government, who should be at the center of community-led monitoring. Once we do that, then we should be happy that community-led monitoring is really working in the country.
The Civil Society Advocacy Forum in Malawi, with support from COMPASS, collaborated with government to identify shared interests that have resulted in making community-led monitoring a mainstream part of delivering HIV services in Malawi. These achievements depended on lifting up the value of CLM to both government and community members. It also depended on supporting community members to collect validated qualitative evidence about their experiences. As CLM succeeds, coordination has become essential to scale it up across the country. David Kamkwamba's lessons from Malawi show us how community-led monitoring can be instrumental to centering the needs and perspectives of affected communities in the HIV response. For more resources, check out the episode page on avac.org/PXPulse. Thanks for listening. I'm Manju Chatani Gada.